Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by you guys. No, I'm joined by nobody. You guys know the deal. On Sundays, I record for Monday shows. They are mailbag shows, and, you know, I take in all your questions. Some of these, like, I'm just going to be frank, it's kind of difficult to talk about the Lakers right now, but you know what? I'm going to do the best that I possibly can. Hope all of you guys are remaining as safe and smart as you can during these times. I saw Governor Gavin Newsom just closed down all the restaurants, wineries, bars, breweries, whatever, in Los Angeles. So if you guys work in spots like that, and you know, and you need a little bit of help, hit me up and I'll I'll see what we can do to at least get word about your situation out there, and hopefully those of you can get some support in what I would imagine is a really scary time. Not being able to work is terrifying. So I hope we can all get through this stuff together. Without further ado, though, I'm going to segue awkwardly over to your guys' questions. The first one is from last Sunday. This is a quote. When you guys, this is from Never Worried 24, when you guys were previewing the next 10 games, you said in these last two games were very important. So my question is, what do you think if the 10 game stretch, if they only won two more games? So I'm going to answer this as if that would have been the outcome, right? Obviously, it probably looks like most of those, you know, remaining eight games from the 10 game stretch that Pete and I previewed, I would imagine most of those get canceled and the season gets shortened so that the NBA can just kind of focus on the playoffs whenever they get back. So if the Lakers had gone, you know, 2-6 over the remainder of that stretch, it's like I said, if they would have gone, I think I said at the time, if they would have gone 2-8 over that 10-game stretch with those two wins coming against Milwaukee and the Clippers, you know, depending on how they lost the other eight games that they lost in a row, which, you know, obviously I don't think was going to happen. But if they had lost that many games after winning those two games, I honestly probably would have been fine with it, as crazy as it sounds. Those two games were really, you know, message senders, not just in the sense that, you know, the Lakers got to shut up that narrative that they can't beat good teams, but also in the way that they won. Those were both fairly stable wins, and the Lakers took care of business there pretty comfortably. So the fact that that was able to be the outcome there, and you know, we were able to, you know, watch the Lakers compete in two physical, kind of ugly games, that they just took care of business, and like that's exactly what we were all hoping to see. So yeah, if they would have gone, you know, 2-6 in the remainder of those eight games there, I would have been perfectly fine with that. Let's go to the next question here. Do those wins against the Bucks and Clippers give LeBron an edge over Giannis in the MVP race? It's kind of a weird thing to think about, but I would imagine the league taking its hiatus probably hurts LeBron more than any, you know, hurts LeBron's MVP case, because, you know, now you aren't going to have the recency bias that you might have, you know, in a regular voting season. So I think if you're, you know, if you're trying to still gauge whether or not LeBron, like, it obviously helped him to win those two games, and he closed the gap by quite a bit on Giannis, but there was a pretty significant gap between Giannis and LeBron for the MVP. And, you know, while LeBron closed that gap in pretty dominant fashion, I think at this point you're probably looking at Giannis winning the MVP. We'll see how many more games are played in the regular season when the NBA comes back. But you know, as of right now, I'd be pretty surprised if it was anybody but Giannis to win the MVP. Let's go one more question here. Don Ferleone writes, I was wondering if when rewatching this clips over this one of the clips, if you had any referendum on how Clippers players' attitude towards one another went down to the Lakers compared to that of the Lakers when they were losing. Plus, the funniest moment of the game was Harrell asking for a clear out, only to hook off the front of the rim. Hope he keeps doing that. I did rewatch the game, and yeah, it stuck out. Now, it's something that I was kind of looking for, but it stuck out pretty obviously to me that the Lakers' chemistry, you know, really helped them through in that game. Now, again, because of this pretty big hiatus, you know, some of that chemistry might be really affected here. I don't think the Lakers are really allowed to see each other. So hopefully absence makes the heart grow fonder for the Lakers. But you know, even still, whenever this season resumes, they'll be coming from a place of higher confidence than the Clippers. And, you know, generally with teams that got along, get along as well as the Lakers do, they typically pick up right where they left off in terms of chemistry after a gap like this. Now, we've never seen a gap like this in the middle of a season where everybody has a month off. But as of right now, I would probably say that, you know, I'm pretty confident that whenever the season resumes, the Lakers pick up right where things left off in terms of chemistry and confidence. Maybe they even get some rhythm back. It's kind of tough because, you know, now you have to work Dion Waiters in probably with fewer games. I do hope that Kuzma spends a good chunk of this hiatus behind the three-point line and just getting as many shots up as he possibly can. And look, if he can also focus on the type of shots that he's been getting, especially when playing on the court alongside LeBron and Anthony Davis, then you can really kind of start to work on making yourself a more viable role player for the Lakers. So plenty of stuff to kind of carry you through if you're a Laker, carry you through the break, and hopefully, you know, when things resume, everybody just kind of hits the ground running, and everybody's going to have to, right? The Lakers aren't unique in this sense. Everybody is going to have to try to figure out a way to, okay, yes, it's been a month since we saw each other. Hopefully everybody stayed in shape. Everybody on the Nuggets looks at Jokic. And you get to, you know, hopefully resume the special season that the Lakers were having. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to answer more of you guys' questions. Today's show is brought to you in part by Postmates. Look, as somebody who works from home with a daughter and a dog, and it's just a hassle to pack everybody up. You know, when I'm working from home on a weekday and I'm in charge of everybody, to pack everybody up into the car, it's just easier to get Postmates. And they make it as easy as possible. The food is always fresh when it gets there. And, you know, I literally probably could not make it through a regular day without Postmates. And they've been just phenomenal since I signed up. Postmates doesn't just deliver meals, by the way. They can help you with groceries. They help you with booze if you're in a desperate situation there. If you've had a few drinks and you want to play it safe, obviously you can order. You can send a Postmate out for a late night food run. But just about anything you could ask for, they have you covered. And for a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. To start your free deliveries, download the app and use the code LOCKEDONNBA. That's LOCKEDONNBA. Again, that's Locked On NBA for $100 of free delivery credit with no minimum purchase for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Anything you need, anytime you need it, Postmate it. All right, the next question here comes from CJ Mendenhall. Do you think that the MVP voters generally don't want to vote for a Laker? Maybe they're salty and feeling like the Lakers always win, so give the votes to players on other teams. I ask because there have only been 8 MVP awards given to the Lakers in Lakers history. With all the greats the Lakers have had, I would have thought there would be more. Kobe only got one. Shaq only got one. It's crazy. Thoughts? So I don't know if it's a Lakers-specific thing. I think it has a lot to do with the way that the Lakers have typically had their success. You mentioned Shaq and Kobe. Well, they're going to take votes from each other because we're really stupid about the math on these things. You have – so, like, the Lakers have won 16 championships, right? Well, in those 16 championships, they haven't come where there was only one super-duper star. Like, the closest thing to it was the year that Kobe won one, or the years that Kobe won them after Shaq, but Powell was still really, really good. And in one of those years, Kobe won MVP. So, or in one of that, during that stretch where it was Kobe and Powell, Kobe won an MVP. And you know, for some dumb reason in the NBA, you're kind of looked down on if you have good teammates. That's what, you know, Giannis is going to run away with this award, with the MVP award, because the next closest, the player closest to a star that he has on his team is Chris Middleton. And he doesn't really inspire awe in terms of the cachet that he carries around the league. Whereas you compare LeBron, you know, LeBron's resume, well, people are going to say, well, he has Anthony Davis. You look at, you know, other Kawhi Leonard. If he would have stayed healthy, people might have said, well, he has Paul George. You know, you can go on down the line, and that goes back, that harkens back even to the Magic eras, or, you know, with the Showtime Lakers. Kareem would take votes from Magic. Magic would take votes from Kareem. For some reason, that same effect didn't really have, or wasn't as stated with Larry Bird, in that he had, you know, Kevin McHale, and he had Robert Parrish, and he had Dennis Johnson. You know, those are all MVP, or all, I believe, Hall of Famers. And yet, you know, that didn't really stop Bird from winning championships. I think there, you know, unfortunately, there was probably, I'm not going to go full Isaiah Thomas and say that Bird only won because he was white. But, you know, I would, given the lack of diversity in the press force at the time, I think there was a bit of that obviously had to have played a factor. So, you know, I don't think it's a Lakers specific thing. It's that whenever the Lakers have had really good players, they've usually had another really good player, and those guys would tend to take votes away from each other. So that's kind of where we're at right now. And look, I'm not going to sit here and whine about Giannis winning MVP. He's been really effing good. Like, insanely good. So if he wins MVP this year, and, you know, or if LeBron doesn't win MVP this year, it won't be because, oh, shucks, everybody just hates LeBron or whatever. It's going to be, yeah, Giannis played on a historically good Bucks team and was insanely good on that team and was so good to the point where he got to sit through a lot of fourth quarters. Otherwise, his stats would look even more inflated if he would have stuck in those games. So I don't understand. MVP is cool and all. I think it's a flawed award, just like most awards tend to be flawed. But Giannis winning wouldn't be some grand statement against LeBron. Let's go. It's Cedric writes, hi, Anthony and Pete. Love the show. I look forward to my 50-minute morning commute to work because of you two. I'm glad we can help. My question is, who do you guys think is better, Caruso or Lonzo? Remember last year we really praised Lonzo on his defense as well as B-ball IQ, but I think Caruso is great in those areas as well. Also, Pete, if we win the championship this year, can you eat a slice of pineapple and ham pizza on the show? I would love to get him to do it, but Pete's pretty stubborn. I don't think that's ever happening. I think in terms of, you know, better player between Lonzo and Caruso, I think it's too early to say. I wish, anytime we do these comparative things, you have to take role into account. And unfortunately for Caruso, and really unfortunately for everybody who's watched the Lakers this year, Caruso just hasn't been given a role that would allow him to be compared to somebody like Lonzo Ball. So I would prefer if we could actually make that comparison, just, you know, being able to compare outright roles, but I don't think we're going to get there. I don't think we're really ever going to get there so long as Caruso is a Laker for some reason. But in terms of overall player, I still think I go with Lonzo, but not by much. It's not by as much as people might think. I really like that, you know, Lonzo has extended his game. He looks a lot more confident in shooting. He's still just god-awful at free throws, which really makes me nervous. Isn't very good around the rim. I think we might have overrated his defense when he was a Laker. You know, I think Caruso is a better defender there, but I think Lonzo was a much better passer, much better ball handler. So in the NBA nowadays, you tend to win games on offense. And Lonzo was just a much better, much more polished offensive player than Caruso right now. But, you know, Caruso's defense is good enough to where he can make up a bit of that gap and make that a closer decision than maybe it would be normally. Let's go one more question here. This is from NBA for Life. Can you guys provide your input on how LeBron is still the best player in the world? I've followed his entire career, and playoff LeBron is no joke. Last time LeBron was in the playoffs, he took a bunch of mediocre guys to the finals with that historic run. Do you believe that LeBron can resurrect this year to help win the championship for the Lakers? Also, I think AD is a front runner for Defensive Player of the Year by far. You guys make my morning commute enjoyable. Keep up the good work. So I'll put it like this. I think Giannis is still the better overall player between him and LeBron. But if you're just, like, if I have one guy, if I have to choose one player to win me one basketball game, I would much rather have LeBron than Giannis. So I think Giannis is a better 82-game player. I think LeBron is a better, you know, 16-win type player, right? 16 playoff wins type player. LeBron's ability to shoot is a big difference. LeBron from the free throw line to me is a big difference, though it's been frustrating to watch him from there. I think he's a better passer than Giannis, obviously. Now, Giannis is a better defensive player, and I think he's a little bit more dominant just on a day-to-day basis. But come playoff time, I think it's easier to scheme against Giannis than it is to scheme against LeBron. So give me LeBron in the playoff setting, give me Giannis in a regular season setting, and given how much more important the playoffs are than the regular season, I would still probably rather have LeBron if all I'm worried about is the next one season or so. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to keep on answering your questions. All right, next question here comes from B. Magsim. If you were GM and were forced to choose between Rajon Rondo and Tyler Ennis to play the point, which would be less disastrous? I think I'd rather have Ennis because it's a lot easier politically to bench him than it is to bench Rajon Rondo. So like if Ennis was in the spot that Rondo was in, Caruso would just play more, right? If damn near anybody were like if you put an average NBA player or a player, you know, that doesn't have the name and resume that Rondo does in Rondo's shoes, the Lakers would be a better team because that player wouldn't, you know, there wouldn't be so many people pulling for that player to get as many minutes or play as large a role as Rondo has. So, yeah, sounds insane, but give me Tyler Ennis for the Lakers right now, and I think they're a better team than they are with Rajon Rondo on the roster. Let's go. D. Frizio writes, Hi, Pete and Anthony. I love the show. Listen regularly as I walk my dog each day. I was wondering if you heard the reports that the Lakers offered the Pistons Caruso and draft assets for Derrick Rose at the trade deadline. I can imagine both of you would have had simultaneous brain embolisms if that had actually gone through, seeing as how much you guys love Caruso. Wonder what that podcast would have been like if the trade had gone through. Also, I was wondering, who do you guys think is the most important role player during the Kobe-Shaq championship years? I'm guessing it's someone in the group of Fisher, Fox, or Ori. All right, so the first question here, how would we have reacted if the Lakers had traded Caruso for Rose? It depends on the draft stuff, although I think they only really have, like, they would have only been able to offer conditional second-rounders or you know, a second rounder from fairly far down the line. Now, if it would have been Caruso, Kuzma for Rose, I don't think I would have. I would have been pretty upset if that was the trade. The thing is, if you trade for Rose, if you're trading Caruso for Rose, I think, you know, I think Rose is a more talented player. I don't think he's as good a fit alongside LeBron and AD as Caruso is. But like, I'm not kidding, guys. I really, you know, we'll see how things go once the season comes back. But I really think it's a fairly high likelihood that Caruso actually gets kind of, he's out on the outside looking into the rotation. And if that is the case, then you could have traded Caruso for Rose, who probably has the political pull to get more minutes over Rondo, and the Lakers become a better team in that way. Now, if you trade Caruso for Rose and Rondo maintains the same amount of time, then I think that that move, and then, you know, come playoff time, I don't know how the decision making goes there between Rondo and Rose. But if you know, unless the only way that trade makes any sense whatsoever is if you're making that trade and Rose winds up being like your de facto main point guard, and Rondo just essentially becomes an assistant coach. That's the only way it makes sense. I'm not sure that's how it would have played out because of the pull that Rondo seems to have in the organization, but you know, if it would have happened, it would have happened. I'm glad it didn't, though, for the most part. In terms of the second question, the most, you know, valuable role player during the three-peat era, I'd say probably a tie between Fisher and Ori. I think Ori, it isn't a coincidence that Ori won as many titles as he did. He was this guy who kind of revolutionized the position before we really recognized the revolution of that position. The stretch four allows for your team to do so many different things. And the fact that Ori was there stretching the floor for a center like Shaq, I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lakers were. I'd love to look back on the on-off ratings of Robert Ori on those teams compared to his other the other guys on those rosters who couldn't stretch the floor as well as he could from that position. I think Fisher also deserves some praise here because he just, as a point guard, having a point guard that you could keep for as long as the Lakers were able to keep Fisher, who was able to knock down the three-pointer the way that he did. All he really cared about was hitting that three-pointer and playing defense, allowing, you know, Kobe to dominate the ball a little bit more, Shaq to dominate the ball a little bit more. Like and then just having the kind of calming effect that Fisher had on that team, I think he was hugely valuable there. I'd probably give Ori the slight nod, But I could see that going. I don't see it going in turn. You know, I don't think Fisher was ever more valuable than Ori, but I could see them being the same amount of valuable. Let's go to the next one here. Comes from Park Wahlberg. Hey guys, not a question, just a funny thing that happened. For work, I go and meet with people, and the first thing I do is I grab their ID. I'm up here in Seattle, please be safe. So whenever I see someone has a California ID, I can't ask but help if they like the Lakers. So far, zero Clippers fans, all have been Lakers, LOL. But I asked him, I asked a guy, and he didn't say anything. He just smirked and grabbed out of his pocket a purple and gold hair pick and started fixing his afro. And as he did that, he said, "Do I like the Lakers? Man, you know I keep those colors on me." That's an incredible story, and really just serves to highlight how widespread the fan base is. It's a pretty incredible phenomenon. All right, last question here. Roberto Jones writes, "Hi, Anthony and Pete. What if you guys do a rewatchable / Book of Basketball podcast style show about your favorite Lakers games ever? Talk about how it feels rewatching the games now. What's aged the best? What's changed since, etc. Love the show." Yeah, we're gonna be diving back into the history of the Lakers quite a bit during this hiatus. On Twitter, I asked, and it's my pinned tweet, so if you don't follow me or if you haven't seen me on Twitter, at Anthony Irwin LA, you can go in there, vote for your favorite Lakers team. I'm going to seed those Lakers teams, and we're going to have a bit of a bracket, a bit of a March Madness onto our own, in which we put the Lakers, you know, our favorite Lakers teams against each other, and then eventually get to a singular winner. So check that out if you want. A rewatchables pod is a good one. I got a great email from Anthony DiMartino, I believe is how you pronounce his name. Yeah, Anthony DiMartino sent in a great email about Lakers what ifs. Obviously, you know, you have the trade veto and all of that. So plenty of stuff that we're going to be able to talk about to get us through this stretch here. At first, it was, I kind of freaked out because, you know, when something like this happens, just as a content creator, you kind of freak out. But I think we have plenty of stuff, a really cool community to be able to get through this. So I want to be able to get through this, not just as a show, but also as a community. And again, I keep on harping on this. If there's any way that you can help other people who are going through stuff right now, you know, let me know. Shoot me an email, tweet me. I'll open up my DMs, though I regretted that last time I did it. Just let me know, and we'll try to see if we could organize a way to help everybody through this, what is just getting tougher, it seems like. So stay positive. Try to help if you can. If you can't, focus on just being smart. You know, don't go out to mass gatherings and stuff like that. Just play it smart and help by just being smart and safe out there. That's going to do it, though, for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Thank you guys very much for the questions. Obviously, as we get through this stretch here, the number of topics that you can ask about, you know, just strictly the Lakers, it's going to dissipate at some point. So if you have a question about literally anything, obviously within reason, you know, me personally, food, wine, movies, music, video games, whatever, I have no problem talking about that stuff. As you guys can probably tell, I just like talking. So hit me up with questions like that on iTunes or in the email or whatever on Patreon. We'll get all through all of this together. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow.